Good morning, and welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. It's a blessing to be in the house of our Lord, to hear his word and receive his grace. He offers that to us in the sacrament of the altar. We're blessed to also have the sacrament of baptism here this morning, so we'll do that just following our opening hymn. And so we'll turn now to our opening hymn, that is hymn 904, Blessed Jesus at Your Word. Following that, we'll turn to our baptismal liturgy and then on to Divine Service Setting 4, which begins on page 203. So special welcome to all of our guests and members alike. Glad that you are here. We begin now with our opening hymn.
Thank you.
Our service continues with Confession and Absolution on page 203. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven, proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you, O soul begotten, the Father, Son, we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Receive our heartfelt cry. Were you in power seated at God's right hand on high? You alone are holy, you only are the
worshipped and adored you with the Holy Spirit alone, God, in God the Father's glory. Amen, a glad reply.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, whose strength is made perfect in weakness, grant us humility and childlike faith, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 11. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me. They devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." But O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James chapters 3 and 4. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, "He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us"? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. And Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down and called the 12. He said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all, and servant of all." He took a child and put him in the midst of them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. That is what is referred to as a passion prediction. Jesus makes these predictions or prophecies several times throughout his earthly ministry. But why? Jesus' reasons, of course, are always good. He does not want his disciples to be caught off guard when that moment does come when he is betrayed into the hands of sinful men and crucified. But Jesus also wants to clearly state the plan of God, and to demonstrate that prophecy will be fulfilled, that God is ultimately behind it all. Now, as you can imagine, those passion predictions of our Lord Jesus throughout his ministry never quite hit the right way. His disciples always missed the point. But they did not understand the saying, Mark reports, and were afraid to ask him. Now, for a bit of understanding, we can relate to something maybe a bit closer to home. Imagine on your bucket list is that trip of a lifetime. Pulling out all the stops, holding nothing back, no expenses being spared. It is going to be the best possible. Then you start hearing reports of what will happen just months before that perfect trip is to take place. None of the airlines will dare go near that location again. All other modes of transportation are also out of the question. Everyone, it is being reported, that has been to that special place has come back sick in the last few weeks. Water there is contaminated. There's an infestation of lice and mice. As this was to be once in a lifetime, an experience beyond all compare, at that perfect location, there is no alternative. No other place can match it. One final report does say that all will be perfect there once again in the not too distant future, and all trips scheduled will still be honored. But you have your doubts. Jesus' disciples are at a loss with his passion predictions. They were all in on Jesus. He was the Christ, the Messiah, as Peter had confessed. There could be no one else. He is it. Peter would even say later on, "See, we have left everything and we have followed you." But then to hear that Jesus would be defeated and killed, that would be a train wreck. The first time they heard this prediction of Jesus was right after Peter made his great confession of Jesus to be the Christ. The Father had revealed that great truth to Peter. And so Jesus proceeded to reveal to Peter the rest of it, what it means to be the Christ. And Peter grabs hold of Jesus and takes him aside, and he rebukes Jesus. There was no way those 12 men would ever let anyone touch Jesus, ever let anyone hurt their Messiah. Not so easily. He was, after all, David's son. He is the mighty one, the long prophesied one. He is supposed to be the one doing the conquering. He is to be victorious, leading them on to triumph over all their enemies. But imagine if David had stepped up to fight the great giant Goliath only to be squashed in the first 2 seconds. The story would have ended before it even began. The disciples' reaction then to Jesus is understandable. Sure, everyone expects there to be a hiccup in the plan every now and then. We all know that all too well. Nothing goes off perfectly, without a hitch. But for Jesus, to make such a devastating prediction was unthinkable, and actually borderline blasphemy. For the Son of Man, Jesus' preferred title for himself, which the disciples would rightly connect with the Messiah, the Christ. He is going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Delivered means that there would be people involved. People close to Jesus who would be doing the delivering of Jesus. Included in that Greek meaning for delivered is betrayed. Someone close to him will turn their back on Jesus, turn him in to the enemy, deliver him over to those who want him stopped. Inconceivable. And those to whom Jesus is delivered, Jesus predicts, will kill him. Now, this is truly remarkable. And beyond comprehension for the disciples, they were warming up to Jesus more and more being fully the Son of God, the one to be able to conquer over all things. They were eyewitnesses, after all, to his vast power and might. They saw him firsthand heal those who were sick, cast out demons, calm storms, even raise the dead. So how could anyone ever get the better of Jesus? How could anyone even kill him, the Son of God, from all of eternity? And how could Jesus, the all-knowing, all-powerful one, the Son of David, the Messiah himself, how could he allow it, one of his own, to betray him? There was far more going on behind the scenes than the disciples could even wrap their minds around. To them, none of this made any sense. They were not of the mind to let any of these predictions. They were of the mind to not let any of these predictions come true. No less than three times. Three times, the number of completion in the Scriptures does Jesus predict it, his coming betrayal and his crucifixion. And so it was bound to happen, despite the disciples' best efforts. That Jesus makes these predictions reveals the very will of God. Jesus' betrayal and his execution are the things of God that he has in mind. Through this unjust and nonsensical act in the minds of the disciples will come the ultimate triumph and victory. The death of God's own Son upon the tree of the cross that will fully exhaust beyond compare the power of sin and of death and of the devil. Jesus will allow them, though, to overpower him for a moment. He will allow them to lay their hands upon him as he lays down his life willingly upon the tree of the cross. He takes everything that they can possibly throw at him into his own sacred body. And so that is what Jesus does. He receives it all for the purpose of our salvation. With all that plagues us, with all that can harm us and destroy us, firmly secured, attached to the very body of the Lord Jesus, Jesus then gives it up, gives up his life upon the cross, and he dies. Sin and death and the power of evil, all the power of Satan, they have that victory, but only for a moment. Jesus' passion prediction never lacked that final, all-important component. After 3 days, he will rise. Yes, sin and death and all of evil will get the better of Jesus. But one can never fully get the better of God. No one's victory over God it can fully last, or else God could not be fully God. For victory over Jesus was as complete as it could be from our greatest of foes. But the best of sin, the best of death, the best of Satan was not enough to hold on to Jesus forever. It could not be enough. Not ever. Jesus' prediction, his prophecy, guarantees the victory. Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God has power in itself to create reality. Whatever it is that God desires, it has the power to effect real change, to accomplish that which He purposes it. So in the very act of stating what will indeed happen, Jesus guarantees that it will happen. It's a foregone conclusion. Jesus will rise from the dead, victorious over sin, death, and the devil forever and ever. And Jesus' prediction of the future is no guesswork. He does not base these predictions on previous trends or data, as some of our great predictors try and do today. He's not promoting an idea, even of wishful thinking, maybe there's a chance. Jesus, the God-man, who is bound to his creation, remains boundless by time. The future to him is always present, as is the past. It's far beyond our comprehension, but it is no problem for Jesus. Jesus speaks what will be, and it will certainly be what will be. Inspiring the apostles to go on to write the New Testament, Jesus says that baptism saves you, and it gives you forgiveness. That word of Jesus then, by its own power, makes it so, makes it happen. So it has happened here this day to Rooney, in those sacred waters. Jesus states that the bread and the wine of his supper are his body and his blood. And it is so. You eating his body and drinking his blood this day gives you forgiveness of sins again in real time, simply because Jesus has said it is so. Your faith does not make it so, does not make it true. It is merely the gift of God that he has granted unto you to receive this great gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Well, you and I, we will never, of course, be the Lord Jesus. His predictions of his suffering and his death and his resurrection foreshadow our future as well. You too. No suffering in this life. The consequences of sin are always around us. In illness, injury, and heartache, in betrayal, and rejection by the world. You too will know the separation of your soul from your own body in death. As those are true for you, so also the ending prediction is true for you as well. You too will rise. Just as Christ is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all of eternity. For as it goes for the Lord Jesus, the new Adam, so it goes for you. You who bear his seal upon your brow as granted to you in the waters of holy baptism. And that is not my prediction. That is Jesus' own truth, stated to you and stated for you. And so it will truly happen, just as he has said. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Will you stand? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth, the Lord, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name, sing Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Lord, truly blessed is he, comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. Special welcome again to Rooney Hope and to the family of Christ here at St. John. The church worldwide, we give thanks to God for her baptism here this morning. Congratulations to her family as well. Announcements you can find printed within your bulletin. Our 6th annual Arts and Crafts Fair is coming up in October. There's a car show that goes along with that, so if you'd like to sign up for that or want more information, you can talk to our school office, especially Mrs. Kim Schmidt, and she'll be able to fill you in on those details. LWML ladies are still collecting school supplies for the Orphan Grain Train. You can still bring those in and leave those in our coat room just down the hall, the other side of the church office. You can join us, of course, for Bible class this morning, and Sunday school starts around 9:30, give or take, and there's coffee and donuts in the fellowship hall as we go before we go our separate ways into the peace of our Lord. Other announcements you can find printed within your bulletin. We do go forth in the name of our Lord, thankful for his mercy and his grace.